I want you to turn to the book of Psalms tonight, chapter number 142. I appreciate all these good men that's on the board and run the meeting. Appreciate their lives. Psalms 142, I want to read to you some very familiar scripture. And try to preach to you here for a few minutes, the Lord would help us. Verse number 1, Psalms 142. The Bible says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise Thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I want you to look at verse 4 with me. And I want to preach from this very familiar scripture tonight. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. I just want to preach tonight on a very simple title. On Jesus Cares. Jesus cares. When you just, you just kind of casually say it, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But what if He stopped caring? How far would we get when this service came to a close if He's caring? What kind of service would we have Sunday? Brother Cox, how would it be to face surgery Monday morning if He stopped caring? Doesn't sound like it's really, we so casually say it and it goes by so quick. I'm glad He cares. I want everybody in the building to know tonight that the Lord does care. I got to say tonight that there's hardly another feeling that I can think of at the moment. I doubt there's another feeling that would be any better to the human than to know that He is cared for. From what I can tell, there's probably nothing that can compensate for just knowing that somebody cares. Materially speaking, things such as riches or fame or houses and land, really, that doesn't bring us enough satisfaction or enough assurance. There's not enough that can be achieved by those things. But there's something about knowing that you are cared for. I remember me and my wife were coming up on our 14th anniversary this year. I remember when we were about to get married, I was 19 years old, and I came in one day. I worked for the Cherokee Nation, and I came in one day, and they said, no hard feelings, but we're out of money, and there was a budget cut, and we were about to get married, and I had bought a mobile home and had a truck payment and different things, and she was up at the home that we were fixing to buy. I knew that she was going to be there that day cleaning, and I went by to tell her I was laid off. And I figured she'd just want to just put everything off and forget it, you know, and wait. And I probably thought that might be wisdom. And I walked in there, told her that I didn't have a job. And I said, "You still want to get married?" She said, "Brother Neil," she said, "I'd marry you if we had to live in a tent." We didn't get a tent, but somebody loaned us a travel trailer, and we lived in it for about 6 months. I look back now, and the Lord was just getting there ready for the evangelistic field, I guess. But, I mean, just knowing that she still cared, that let me know that she didn't really marry me for the money. I didn't have any. I remember hearing a story about a young girl. She said, "The happiest day of my life was the day that I got engaged, because there was just something about knowing that somebody wanted me." Can you imagine how many people there are in this world tonight that crave to be cared for? Can you imagine how many people that are in the Mobile area that down deep in their heart, they're not wanting a new house. They're not looking to climb the ladder of success. They don't daydream about having more finances. They just want somebody to care. They want to know. They want to have that feeling of what it feels like to be cared for. And I don't guess there's any feeling that could surpass that. When we say our marriage vows, what do we say? We say for better or for worse. For richer or for poorer. In sickness. Because we make that vow that no matter what comes or goes, we're going to keep on caring for one another. Doesn't it feel good to know that somebody cares about you tonight? I'm sure most of you that were around Brother Clyde and Sister Lucille Dawson ever, you heard them sing that old song, "This old world's no place for living. There's not enough care." My, this old world's no place for living. There's not enough care, and there's not enough giving. Just those two lines out of that song speak volumes, because it describes to us exactly what kind of world that we're living in tonight. Amen. It's very descriptive, and it describes exactly kind of world that we live in. I remember Brother Alexander, J.R. Alexander, preaching one time. He preached a great message on the winker of time. He talked about what a cold world that we live in. You ever notice how cold it is? Sometimes you say good morning and they say, "What's good about it?" You know, they tell me that years ago people would sit on their front porch and people would walk by and sweep the sidewalk and talk about the boy that had gone to the war and ask how the family's doing. And there's not much time for caring anymore. We're so worried about other things that we fail to take time to care. But still, if nobody cares for you, that doesn't do away with the fact that you want to be cared for. If nobody cares for you, it doesn't do anything to suppress that feeling that you got to know that somebody cares. Oh, God, y'all going to help me tonight? Now, I know tonight that there are charities, there are organizations, there are support groups, there are all kinds of things that are available to help and to care those that are less fortunate, the homeless, the deprived, those that are poverty stricken, and I'm glad that America is able to help in some of those areas. There are soup lines, there are homeless shelters, there are grants that are given and things and welfare care systems that try to help people that are needing care. Amen. There are all of those things that are available. There's somebody tonight probably standing in a soup line. Somebody tonight don't have a place to lay their head. Somebody tonight sleeping under a bridge, cold. But you know what the Lord dealt with me about? You don't have to go out to the soup line to find somebody that's needing some care. You don't have to go down to the homeless shelter to find somebody that's brokenhearted.
You'll have to go down to the welfare office and pull up in the parking lot and see somebody that, amen, is in poverty. We got people sitting right in this building tonight. Amen. That they're not in a soup line. They didn't go to one today. They're not needing a place to stay tonight. They may have a little money in their pocket, but somewhere down deep in their heart, amen, they are craving to have, amen, something from heaven. Amen. They're craving down deep in their soul, amen, to be able to feel them ever loving arms wrap around them. There may be somebody in this house tonight that's needing the hand of God to wipe away every tear from their eye. There may be somebody here tonight that's needing the Lord to look their way and heal their body. There may be somebody tonight, amen, that is brokenhearted. I'm telling you, friend, you don't have to go out into the world to find somebody that's needing care. But can I tell you, if there was one thing, amen, that we are ever needing, we need to know, and we need to have that satisfaction and that heartfelt assurance that, bless God, there is a God in heaven, amen, that cares about us. Amen. He knows our down sitting and our uprising, our going out and our coming in. And it makes me want to shout to know that Jesus cares. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All of these people that are standing in soup lines, homeless shelters, support groups, charitable organizations, they're receiving help. But Brother Blanton, it falls short of that special care. You ever walked into Walmart about Christmas time, heard that little bell, you reached in your pocket and you flicked a coin in there? It really wasn't an act of love. Come on now. You don't want him to be embarrassed. Everybody else was stopping. Come on now. Amen. And sometimes, amen, even though these people are eating hot soup and sleeping in a warm bed, it still falls short of the kind of care that they're really craving down deep in their heart. And nobody in this world can provide for that feeling but Jesus Himself. Oh, church, I'm telling you, I'm glad to know tonight that He cares. Oh, how would it be if He stopped caring? How would it be if right now, how many people would fall over dead if the Lord stopped caring? How many people might backslide if the Lord didn't care tonight? How many people would be discouraged if God didn't care? Amen. But I'm sure tonight you'll agree with me, amen, that somewhere in this sanctuary, amen, there is a power and a spirit, and there is a love that this world cannot give, and it is Jesus letting us know that He still cares. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus cares tonight. Doesn't matter what kind of situation that you are in right now. Sinner, He cares. Backslider, He cares. Discouraged saint of God, He cares tonight. Preacher, He cares. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He careth for you. Amen. Listen, friend, I want you to know tonight that, amen, all of us at one time or another must have experienced exactly what David felt when he said, I looked and I beheld and there was no man that cared. There was no man that cared. I must say tonight, it's better to be opposed by foes than it is to be forsaken by friends. Amen. It's better to know that you have an enemy opposing you that is against you. It's better to have that than it is to have a friend forsake. Because there's that feeling and that craving and that longing for companionship. And just knowing that somebody cares. But David said, I looked and I beheld. He said, there was no man that would know me. Isn't it somehow everybody knows you until you get in trouble? Come on now. Amen. Oh, God. He said, no man cared for my soul. I looked on my right hand, beheld. There was no man that would know me. Refuge fail me, and no man cared for my soul. You ever felt like you was cast out as an outcast? Woo! Hallelujah. You ever felt utterly deserted when you were in your utmost need? Come on now. Amen. You ever felt like you were without a friend and not even a friend of God? Well, come on now. I want you to know tonight, friend, when we walk into the sanctuary and walk into the church and take our coat off, hang it up on the rack, wouldn't it be nice to hang all of our troubles up with it? But it don't happen at our time all the way, does it? Amen. Amen. We live in a world where there's not much care. But I'm telling you, Jesus said that I want you to cast all of your care upon me because he careth. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, all of the affairs of life should not be worried with, amen, but should be placed in the divine providence of God. I tell you something tonight, friend, you may be in this sanctuary looking on the right hand and on the left. Amen, the devil may be telling you that nobody cares, but Jesus said, I care, I care. Amen, give me all of your burden, give me all of your problem, give me all of your trouble, amen, because I care. Great God. Amen. Amen, I'm telling you tonight, he cares. When I got to praying about this message some time ago, amen, I began to wonder how many times do we come to the house of God and we got people sitting right on our pews. Amen. Now listen, you know what the Lord's been burdening me with about in revivals that I've been trying to preach? I've been trying to preach how important that it is to have spiritual services. Because listen, we ain't got no idea tonight the broad range of catastrophes that are right among us. And I started over here, had each one to testify and tell the urgent needs and problems and troubles, and went all the way over here. How long do you think it'd take tonight? We got such a broad range of catastrophes right here. My God, you ain't got to go nowhere looking for trouble. Amen. We got it right among us. Amen. We got people that are starving spiritually. Amen. They're weary. They are foot sore. Amen. They are discouraged. Amen. Some are wounded. Some are bleeding. Amen. Some are tired. Come on now. Amen. But listen, friend. Amen. David said, no man cared for my soul. But I tell you tonight, we have a man. Hallelujah. The Son of Man. The great I Am. And if you would take all of your burden and trouble and care and place it in his hand. Great God, you talk about revival. You talk about kicking up your heels. Amen, and shouting glory. When you feel the God of heaven lift that care and lift that trouble, just to know that he cares. He cares tonight. He cares. I heard a story about a missionary that was in a country and communism came in and they began to embrace communism and really put the pressure on the Christians that were in that area, the pastors and the preachers that were there in that country. And in this particular place, the leaders of that area called in all of those Christian churches, called in the pastors. And that one particular area, and the leaders of that place told them that they were going to be embracing communism. They were going to take on that form of government. You know, that's nothing else but Antichrist and anti-God. And they told all these preachers that they're going to close their churches and they're going to have to quit preaching because communism was coming in. They were going to embrace it. A lot of preachers walked away from that council meeting. denounced the name of Christ, changed the order of their services, changed their doctrine, so that they might stay protected and their family might stay well and free from harm. But there's one Presbyterian preacher, years ago, when this man stood up and he told them, he's a missionary there, and he told them, he said, I'll be having church next week. I'll be preaching in the name of Jesus next week. Things are going to go right on just like they've been going. You know what? They apprehended that man. They arrested him. They whipped him. They beat him. They marred his body. The story said that there was a particular type of torture, that they would place these men in a small closet that was built just a little bit shorter than the stature of that man. That man would go into that small closet. They'd lock him in there, and he'd be slightly humped over. And the story said that they'd leave him there for days. A lot of men, they treated him that way. And some men would come out of that place, they would come out of there crippled for life. They'd leave him in there days at a time, not just an hour, not just a day, but sometimes days. They'd open up that door, and they'd throw detestable things into their faces. And then they'd ask them to deny Christ, deny the Lord. Sometimes they'd pull them out of those boxes, rip their fingernails off of their hands. Time to whipping post and beat them until the flesh laid open on their back and blood and water and sweat would run out. And they'd say, deny Christ, deny Lord, deny God. And those men would continue to proclaim the name of Christ. They take them back to the box, Brother Turner, put them in that box, lock the door. Now you answer this question tonight. How many days you think went by? And this man wondered if there was anybody on the face of the earth that cared about him. You wonder tonight how many nights that he stood slumped over in that box and wondered, where are my friends? Where is my God? Where is my church? Where are the brethren? Come on now, how many days went by? Amen. They'd bring that Presbyterian missionary out. They'd whip him and beat him and brutally maul his body. And every day, Brother Cooper, they'd ask him, now, are you going to denounce Christ? Are you going to shut your church down now? He'd say, no, I'll be having church when you let me out. I'll be preaching in the name of God. Hallelujah. Amen. One particular day, after days of being slumped over in that box, they brought him out. They whipped him again. All of a sudden, in the midst of the beating and the torture, Brother Troy, he raised up his hands and said, hold it! Stop! Stop! And those captors thought, now we have broken this man. We have surely broken him. He said, stop! I'm going to make a deal with you. He said, you beat me, and I'll tell you about Jesus. Deal? Come on now. He said, you beat me, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Is that a deal? Come on now. But you know what? He didn't say, hold it, stop, stop, stop. I got a mama praying for me back in the States. He didn't say, stop, stop, stop. I have my pastors praying for me, and I just know he's caring about me. And amen, stop, stop, stop. I'm going to make a deal with you. He didn't tell him about mama praying. He didn't tell him about his brother or his preacher. Amen, but there was a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In the midnight hour, he could sing, oh Lord, I'm in your care. Amen, when they whipped him, he could say, oh Lord, Lord, I'm in your care. When they beat him, he could say, oh Lord, I'm in your care. I'm telling you tonight, friend, the Lord cares. I said, Jesus, he cares. He'll stand by you. He said he'd never leave you. He ain't never gonna forsake you. He'll go with you always. in the middle of your valley, in the middle of your night, in the middle of the sickness, in the middle of the trouble, in the middle of the problem. Jesus, He said, give me that care, give me that burden, give me that trouble, give me that sorrow, and I'm going to take care of it. You realize how many people we got here tonight? It's needing the care of the Lord. Hey, hey, forgive me, brethren. I didn't send you that card you needed. I didn't give you that phone call, Brother Neil, you needed. I failed about it, Brother Hobby. I didn't send that letter. I wasn't there to care about you when you was down. I wasn't there. When your loved ones died, I wasn't there. When your baby was born, I wasn't there. You sitting on sick bed, I wasn't there. Amen. But Jesus ain't never missed a funeral. Woo! He was there when every baby was born. He's been there at the start of every surgery, in the middle of every surgery, at the end of every surgery. Hallelujah! I'm telling you tonight, He cares. It makes me want to shout amen. Amen. Is there anybody in this house that can feel the love and the care? Do you feel His mighty hand? Do you feel that everlasting arm? Why don't you lean on it? Why don't you give it to Him? Why don't you give Him all of your trouble, all of your sorrow, all of your burden? The Bible said He cares. Amen. Sometimes as an evangelist in the perspective of the ministry and looking at some situations, amen. Amen. We try to depend on high preaching. Amen. Amen. We need it. I mean, it's good. It's great in here today. Oh, God. You know, we sometimes lean on other things to accomplish the goal. Oh, God. Sometimes I've asked God to help me preach hell hotter than I've ever preached it. Sometimes I've asked God to give me compassion to reach that person that is hurting. I've asked God to give me the word in season, and so have you. Amen. And I know God chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen. But Brother Blanton, I found out, if you can get somebody sitting in that sanctuary, amen, persuaded that the Lord cares. Come on now. If you can persuade them, amen, that Jesus really does care. Hey, we're living in a world that don't care. And there's no giving. And bless God when they come to the house of God, if there's one thing they need, and that is the care of the Lord. They need the care of God. Oh, come on now. Are you doing like David said? Are you looking and feels like that nobody cares? You ain't got a pat on the back. You didn't get a love offering. You didn't get a phone call. You didn't get a card in the mail. But right now there is a God. There is a Savior. There's a doctor. There's a lawyer. There's a healer. And He's wanting you to know He cares. Cares tonight. I wonder how many people's in here tonight needing the Lord to care for them. Oh God. Brother Chuck Akers preached here one time in the fellowship meeting. I remember, amen, Brother Chuck coming in here, living down there in Venezuela, come in here and preached about, and when he saw the brethren, how that he got strength. Hey man, isn't that wonderful? Amen. To have all the fellowship and the late night coffee together and talking about where we've been, where we're going, and blessings of the Lord. Amen. But preacher brethren, the right enjoyed sometimes, as wonderful as it is, falls short of what my heart is needing. Come on now. Amen. It falls short of that special kind of care that I'm needing tonight. Amen. Listen, friend, I want you to know Jesus cares. Amen. He cares. I said, He cares tonight. Yeah, come on, there may not be a whole lot of men that you can find to care. Amen. But if you could just listen tonight, you'd hear that still, small voice saying, I care. If you'd be real still, you'd find out that He is God when you feel His hand. And He says, be not afraid, it is I. Yeah, come on now. Amen. Bless God tonight. Amen. Somebody's needing care. Somebody's needing to be cared for. Amen. Somebody needs to be bound up. Somebody needs to be healed. Somebody needs the oil and the wine tonight. Amen. I tell you who can do it. Jesus can. Amen. The Lord can. Right here on the last night of this meeting, I want you to know Jesus cares.
Most of you know, August the 97, the 11th day, I preached revival for Tony Walker. I drove home, started revival at Kellyville, Oklahoma on Saturday night. Stayed the weekend, we were driving back and forth. Came home Monday, or got home early Monday morning. My phone rang, it was Mama. Said something's wrong with Daddy. I went over there, and my dad passed away. In my living room, died in my arms. I went to judgment to the arms of a merciful God and a just God. He went there. He died. I went to work, canceled all my meetings, stayed there with Mama. Went back to my job, Brother Blanton. Went right back to the place that I'd worked before we went full time. Lord called me full time right here at this altar. In March of 93. Brother Javi, I went back to work because I felt the load and responsibility. No brothers. I had one sister and she was just 17 years old. I felt the load and the need and the necessity to go home and help. I went to work. Canceled my meetings. Canceled my revivals. And oh, if there was some way that I could tell you the battles that I fought with Satan. You ain't gonna be nobody. He ain't never gonna have no more meetings. You've ruined yourself. Been out on the field now a few years. God was opening some doors, places that I hadn't been. I dueled with Him over that. You know, you gotta admit now, preachers, feeling like you're on the back burner sometimes a little rough. Come on now. Amen. Some of the older brethren have to deal with that in later years. Not because they're bad men or they've sinned or come short. No. Sometimes time calls for change. Moses has to turn it over to Joshua. Things happen like that. Amen. But I felt like everything that God had blessed me with was all of a sudden coming to a screeching halt. And I was really battling with it. I really was. It wasn't that I was fragile and I was needing the popularity or the fame or the recognition. Amen. But my ministry, I felt like, wasn't ever going to be, amen, what it should have been. And I got to praying about that. I got to dealing with that and dueling with the devil. And one morning, Brother Switzer, one Sunday morning, my dad had about, he had a bunch of calves that he'd just bought. He had a rent house that he'd just bought, some investments that he'd made. No insurance, no life insurance policy, none of those things. No burial policy. And Mama had a big debt placed right in her hands. 90 acres and all of these things to take care of, and it was all on me. And that Sunday morning, Sister Shirley, I went out to the barn. And I bottle feeding them calves and I sitting there thinking about where I would have been in revival. You know, Mama said, son, go on, preach your meetings, I'll be all right. People came by and said, I'll come help. I'll brush hog for you, I'll feed the calves, I'll take care of things. I knew they would, but it was my place. I went out to that barn and I stand there thinking about the meetings that I canceled and where I would be. A couple of days after Daddy died, I was called to come preach a youth rally, and I just said, I can't do it. There I was. And I went in there, and I knelt down. And I just got to telling on the devil. I said, Jesus, I come to tell on the devil this morning. I'm going to tell you everything that's been going through my mind. Come on now.
day, my phone was ringing. Preachers were praying. A lot of you in here called me and sent cards and sent flowers. People that my daddy didn't know and had never met. And there was men that were caring, but it was coming short of that special care that I was craving. That little thing that's down in my heart that I'm still needing, that as good as all you better were, amen, it was still falling short of the special care. I knelt down that morning, I got to pray, and I said, Lord, I'm just going to tell on the devil. I'm going to tell you what he's been telling me. I'm going to tell you what he said and has been lying. Come on now. Amen. Brother Jowers says, you know, he jumps up on your left shoulder because he never does anything right. Come on now. Amen. God telling me that I was never going to be nothing for God no more. Was never going to preach any more meetings. Amen. Everything I've done was in vain. All of a sudden I was there praying. And if I ever heard the Holy Ghost in my life, you know what I said? I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you the biggest thing that bothers me. I feel like I'm on the back burner. I feel like I'm on the back burner. And if I ever heard the Holy Ghost, Brother Donnie, the Holy Ghost said to me, the back burner does just as much cooking as long as you keep the fire under it. Woo! Hallelujah! You know what I said? I said, Lord, turn up the fire! Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. There was something begin to bubble in my heart. I got the feeling something heavenly. Amen. Come down. Amen. I got the feeling like Paul when he said, this night has been an angel of God who I am and whom I serve. And he stood by me. I got the feeling his care. I got the feeling his love. I got the feeling his hand. Is there anybody in this house that knows that he cares? Bless God, I said he cares. I said the Lord cares. He knows where you are. He knows how you feel. He hears your prayer and sees your tears. And tonight, I wish somebody would shout amen to know that the Lord cares. I'm telling you tonight. I'm telling you tonight that he cares. I'm telling you he cares tonight. What if he didn't? What if he didn't? You wouldn't have that grandbaby. You might not have it. The Lord didn't care. You might not have your children in the house of God. The Lord didn't care. You might not have shouted this morning when the glory fell if your Lord didn't care. Ain't you glad he cares? Woo! I said, ain't you glad he cares? Amen. You know what I feel like doing? Amen. Leaving this meeting. Singing, he will never let me down. He will never let me down. When I'm troubled, he'll never let me down. He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down, Christ of Calvary. He will never let me down. Woo! Amen. When you get in the middle of the battle next week, amen, just remember he cares. Yeah, preacher, when you get to pulling that long train, going up the same hill, same old scenery, same old thing, amen, just get to remembering that the Lord cares. Amen. I know David said that I can't find a man to care, but there's always Jesus. When there's not a man, there's always God. He'll always be there. Telling you he cares tonight. Whew. Man, such a simple thought, such a profound promise to know that he cares. Janet Dempster came home one night and Robert was in a drunken stupor. He got mad and angry, threw her out of her bed, opened up the front door, threw her out into the streets, and there went Janet Dempster, beaten, broken, battered, cast her out into that cobblestone street. She began to walk blindly down that street in the wee hours of the morning, weeping and crying and bleeding and bruised and broken. She felt so much in despair. The very one that she loved and thought cared the most for her had rejected her and looked like didn't even care for her anymore. She stumbled down that street, Brother Tracy. Weeping and crying and broken and battered. And all of a sudden in her mind, she remembered that there was a little woman that lived down the street. Her name was Miss Pettifer, and she was a little sanctified Christian woman. And she came upon her cottage. She walked up to the front door. She knocked on Miss Pettifer's cottage, and here come that Christian lady in the wee hours of the morning, got out of her bed and opened up the door, and there stood Janet weeping and broken and bleeding and battered. And Miss Pettifer took her in her arms, brought her right on into the house, stoked up the fire, put on some hot tea, put Janet in a warm bed, come in there and got to bathe in them wounds and putting band-aids on there. Just begin to give her that motherly care. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Is there anybody in here tonight that remembers Mama's care? You remember Mama's soup? Woo! You remember Mama kissing you goodnight? You remember Mama wiping your fevered brow? Come on now. You remember letting you stay home from school? Oh, only a Mama! Woo! Come on now. Hey man, I'm talking about a mother's care. You just can't beat a Mama's care. Oh, no. Hey, man, there's been times that I've been out on the road and Mama on a fixed income, you know, and just barely getting by. Son, you need any gas money? Son, you need anything? You need me to run down there and take care of the light bill for you? I know she ain't got it, but that's Mama. Come on now, that's Mama. I remember a lot of times walking in there, that old hardwood floor, and she'd say, "Is that you? Get up. Come in there and pray with me. Talk to me. Hold me in her arms. That's Mama. Woo, come on. That's Mama. Come on, if you just got married, I'll tell you something, sis. He still got a Mama. Woo! Oh, shout amen. Shout amen. God bless you. Shout amen. Come on now. Amen. That's the way Mamas do. Amen. Anybody ever preach for Brother Savage? You ever been around Sister Shirley? Yes, she's a Mama. She's a Mama. She just runs all in there and does all these things. Brother Hyde calls her the old biddy, you know, like a mother hen. You know, only he can get by with that. You know, she's just like a mother hen. We got dear sisters in our church. And I can go over there no matter what time they want me to eat. That's Mamas. That's the way Mamas are. Oh, we need more of them like that in this hour, don't we? Throwing their babies away and come on. Amen. Leaving their husbands and children. Amen. We need some more Mamas. I'm glad for mine. She's here. She's been here in this meeting. Amen. She came last year. First year after Daddy was gone, Mama came down to town meeting. Heck, come on now. Amen. But Mama has always been there. And that's the way Janet Dempster was feeling. Miss Pettifer wasn't her Mama, but she was taking care of her just like she was her own. Bathing her wounds, tucking her in a warm bed. Amen. Making her some hot tea. But you know what Janet Dempster said? Boy, I feel better. I feel so much better. My wounds are feeling better. That warm tea was good. But she said, my heart's longing for something else. Miss Pettifer said, well, honey, I know what you need. You need the preacher. Miss Pettifer went out of the cottage and run down the street. Got up the old brother, brought him in there. The old preacher, the old minister knelt down there, got to praying with Janet, and got to asking God to heal them wounds and heal the marriage and save Robert and deliver him from his alcohol. And you know, after a while of praying, she got feeling better. Is there anybody in this house that's glad for your preacher? Woo! I don't tell you what, ain't nobody beats Travis Martin. From Locust Grove, Oklahoma. Pastor in that little old church called Arm Post. Woo! Amen. He's my preacher. He stood up with me. Because he felt sorry for me. Shouted amen. Come on. I was preaching something that probably wasn't even in the Bible. He said, help him, Lord. Come on now. He's prayed for my children. Come on now. Amen. He was my preacher before he was my father-in-law. Amen. I ain't never told this. Probably nobody even hardly knows it. But me and my wife was going to run off and get married. Before we had the ceremony, we had everything loaded up and backing out of the yard. Here come my preacher pulling in right behind us. We're going to have one of them great escapes, you know. You know what he did? He got out and walked up there. Anybody that knows him knows how calm and cool, collected. I mean, he's compassionate and kind. He walked up to the window and he looked at my wife. He looked right past me. Didn't say hello or nothing. He looked right past me and said, "Teresa, every little girl wants a wedding." She started crying. I started crying. Great God, we pulled back in the driveway and got out. Come on now. Had a real wedding. Amen. But that's my preacher. He was concerned. Come on. Amen. He was compassionate. Amen. Oh, Brother Donald, he's been there. Amen. He's preached to me and set me down, talked to me. Amen. There's been times we've come in from the road. He'd say, "I'd like for you to preach for me Thursday night, but now if you're too tired, I'll get somebody else. I know you've been preaching. I know you've been in a meeting. I got plenty of preaches, but I'd like for you, but now if you're too tired." I mean, it goes on and on. I say, "Oh, brother, I'll preach. I'll try." Amen. But he's so concerned about his sheep. That's a minister. Come on. A lot of people got a preacher. He's a pastor. Woo! World of difference, ain't there? Come on. I've been offered a few churches. I said I might could preach to them. I don't know if I could pastor them. Come on now. That's special material. Is there anybody in this house that's glad for all the times that the minister cared for you, came to the hospital, called you, came by your house, amen, prayed with your children, preached to you on Sunday morning? Amen. That is a minister's care. Janet said, "I feel better since Miss Pettifer has cared for me like a mother. And I feel better since the brother has come and been a minister to some of my needs. I feel better." But she said, "Oh," she said, "I long for something in my heart." And the preacher said, "I know what you need." And he opened up to the scripture where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, this wasn't mama talking, and this wasn't the minister talking, but this was Jesus talking. Hallelujah. Amen. She had the care of a mama and the care of a minister, but now she was getting the care of a mediator. Hallelujah. I wish somebody had said amen. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in this house that's glad to know that the mediator is here tonight? I said the Savior is here. Why don't you let him care for you? Why don't you let him heal it? Why don't you let him fix it? Why don't you let him carry it? Why don't you let him deliver? Why don't you let him give you the sound and the victory? He's the mediator. I want all the mamas to stand real quick. Hurry, would you stand for me? Don't blame you. Look here. Look here at these mamas. I feel the Holy Ghost. Look at all these mamas. Whew. You know what I want to say tonight? I want to say thank you, mamas. Is that all right? Brother Cox, if mama was here, would you say thank you? Wouldn't you say thank you if mama was here? Woo! I want to say thank you, mamas, for wiping the fevered brow. Thank you for having to go to the nursery while church is going on, tending to the youngins and taking care of children. Thank you for the meals, and thank you for the love and the care and the prayers. Oh, you know what? My mama gave me a card when I started evangelizing full time. She said, "I knew you could do it." Whew, I kept that thing in my Bible for years. "I knew you could do it. It's going to be a long journey, but you had to take the first step." That's a mama for you. Oh, mama, thank you. Thank you for them nights that you spent with us in prayer. Thank you, amen, for all of the liniment and the ointment. Amen, the Tylenol. Come on, stay with me. Whoa! Hey, come on now. Amen, thanks for the hot soup. Hey, come on. Thanks for the love and the care. Amen, thanks for the school clothes. Ooh, thanks for that new pair of shoes. Amen. Thank you for the toy that I didn't need. And I should have got a whooping. Come on. Amen. Thank you, Mama. Is there anybody in this house, amen, that would say thank you, Mama, with me? Amen. I mean, don't you appreciate them? Aren't you glad for the mamas in this house? I want all the preachers to stand now. Y'all can sit down if you want to. Thank you, preacher. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Blanton, for that revival. After Daddy died, you came with all them messages and told me about that field of prayer. Thank you, preachers. Thank you, Brother Cooper, for the meetings you gave me. Asked me to come. Thank you, Brother Holden, for being a friend. Brother Hobby, thanks. You remember when my motor went out up there? One of the first revivals I had. One man out of Brother Hobby's church come up and gave me $450. Said the Holy Ghost spoke to me to pay for that. Thank you. Thank you, preachers, for standing with me and staying with me. Brother Cox, thank you for them books and that one-of-a-kind signature that I'll never forget. Come on now. Woo! Amen. Thank you for them camp meeting messages. Hey, preachers. Amen. He got to preaching at Bond out there last year. He said, bless God, I couldn't preach no better if I'd have practiced. I mean, he's tearing it up now. I want to say thank you to all the preachers. All you evangelists, I pray for you every day. I try to pray. Amen. And ask God. Amen. Is there anybody in this house? Amen. That's glad for the minister. Are you glad for all of his care? Are you glad for his prayer? Are you glad for the anointing? Are you glad for the mouths and the steers? Aren't you glad for the care of the minister? Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Minister. But oh, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Preacher. But oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! If you ain't got a mama to thank and you ain't got a preacher to thank, you got a mediator. Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, come on, church. If there's anything that we ought to do on the last night of this meeting, we ought to be able to lift our hands and lift our hearts and say, Jesus, I'm glad for your care. I'm glad for your healing. I'm glad for your love. I'm glad for your mighty hand. I'm glad for your deliverance. I'm glad for the shout of victory. I'm glad for the song in the night. I'm glad you lifted up my head. I'm glad you poured out the oil and you put in the wine. I'm glad you bound me up. Amen. You bathed my wounds. You gave me a pat on the back. Is there anybody that can thank the mediator? Can you thank the mediator? We told Mama thank you. We told the minister thank you. Now let's tell the mediator thank you for your care. You ought to thank him. Yeah. Amen. Come on now. Come on now. Only got one thing to say about Y2K. Mama may not be here. And the minister may not be here. But the mediator is going to be here. He's going to talk to God for me. He's going to tell me when he needs bread. He's going to tell me when I need water. He's going to tell God, amen, all about my needs. Hallelujah. Why don't you tell it to Jesus? Why don't you tell it to the mediator? Let him care. Let him heal. Let him save. Bless God, let him deliver. Let him give you revival. Because he cares. Are you glad? Thank you, Mama.
That's my mama. Thank you, Brother Travis. He's not here, but I tell him thank you. But oh, thank you, Jesus. The care of a mother and the care of a minister, but the care of a mediator. Oh, somebody in a soup line tonight may not have a mama, may not have a minister, but there's a mediator. Somebody in the homeless shelter may not have a mama to care or a preacher to care. Oh, you missionaries on foreign ground, tell them Jesus cares. Woo! They know you care when you come up and give them clothes and beans and rice and shoes. They know you care. But when you bear down on the message, amen, don't fail to tell them about the mediator that can meet every need. Hallelujah. The soul, mind, and body. Sinner, he cares tonight. Backslider, he cares. Church, he cares. Aren't you glad he cares tonight? What kind of meeting could we really have? I long for one service when we are able to cast all of our care on him. One revival, Brother Holcomb, when we cast all of our care. Not just cry and feel better. Not just pray and feel better. But when we get up there free, we leave free from all care. It can happen tonight for you. Oh, listen. Come on, if the devil can persuade you that God don't care, you ain't gonna make it, preacher. You ain't gonna make it, saint of God, if the devil can persuade you that God don't care anymore. And I'm telling you, he cares. I'm gonna give you one more thing. I'm gonna make an altar call tonight. If it's all right, I want my wife to go ahead and come. I want you to know he cares tonight. Whew. They say that there was 3 million to 6 million Jews come out of Egypt on the Exodus. Somebody told this at Broxton one time, and I wrote it down. It tears me up. 3 to 6 million Jews come out of Egypt on the Exodus. Y'all with me just for a minute? Came out on the way. And you remember when they come to that place, wasn't it Rephidim? And there was no water. And God gave them water out of the rock. Hallelujah. 3 to 6 million. Let's just say there was 3 million. Bill Houston's more qualified to read this than I am. Listen now, 3 million Jews. If each one had 8 ounce glass of water, 3 million of them, if each one had an 8 ounce glass of water, it would require 187,000 gallons of water per day. If just each Jew had 1 8-ounce glass of water, 187,000 gallons of water a day. That's enough to fill more than 6 30,000 gallon tank trucks. Can you imagine? 6 30,000 gallon tank trucks of water. Now, an average kitchen faucet dispenses 8 ounces every 4 seconds. And so that means that a drink for Israel at Rephidim would require water from a faucet running 24 hours a day for 128 days and 31 hours for each individual to get just one cup full. Now, in the desert, they say that if you was in the desert, you have to drink at least every 2 hours. That means that the rock at Rephidim would have to produce 187,000 gallons of water every 2 hours. This calculates to 93,500 gallons of water every hour, or 1,246 kitchen faucets continually gushing. And Jesus said, I am that rock. Woo! You tell me He can't meet the need. You tell me He ain't got the power. I'm telling you, Jesus can do it. Oh, because He cares. Why don't you lift your hands? Let's give Him one more praise. Let's thank God tonight that we got a mediator. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Minister. But oh, thank you, Jesus.